The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
We lost that championship game against Donegal. We didn't lose a game for 7 years after that. I tell you, we were angry after that game. Dublin came back, I remember, in 2015. It was, we're putting this right.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now. OTB
AM. Time for us to talk about what you should be watching on your telly box or on your tablet or wherever it is you consume these days. We know. Sue Murphy, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, how are you?
What are we watching?
Well, you're not watching TV, you're just watching sport, according to a couple of minutes ago. I'm not needed by you, Ger, anymore.
Well, we just cancel this. Is it over?
It certainly sounds like it. I mean, it is a pretty busy sports season, so anyway. Kevin Kenneth himself is on Amazon at the moment. It's coming out tomorrow. This is a really hard thing to explain because I think it's actually an original concept what they've done with this. Like the first few minutes that I was watching it, I nearly turned off because the first 5 minutes, I can't deal with Married with Children, Kevin Can Wait, Everybody Loves Raymond. I just can't watch those shows. Find them really, really difficult to watch. They're awful, awful comedy. And that's how it's set up. So the first couple of minutes, like when you see the sitting room, it looks like the Married with Children sitting room. It's got stairs at the back and the couch at the front and all that kind of stuff. And it's him, the husband, taking the piss out of the wife. And you're like, oh God, I thought we were over these comedies. What's this? And I honestly had to Google it to find out what was going on. And it switches between the two because as soon as the door closes, as soon as everyone leaves the room, they've stopped taking the piss out of the wife. The lights change, the camera angles change, it becomes really dark. And it's her world. You're experiencing her world of this kind of like misery and depression and trying to keep a house going that he has no interest in, trying to keep a marriage going that he has no interest in, and like just little things like trying to keep her coffee table in the sitting room that she's worked really hard to pay for. And it's a bit of a tough watch. And like I know some people have been saying that like the comedy scenes, because they're so overplayed, because you know, like the Kevin James character and stuff, that they can be a bit annoying, but they take it to another level. And like, how is she staying with this guy? She is so much better than this. And her character Alison is played by Annie Murphy, who you'll know from Schitt's Creek. And she's amazing at it, completely different from her character Alexis in Schitt's Creek. She is the hard done by wife, and she just gets angrier and angrier over the course of the episode, to the point at the end where you actually think she's just going to kill him. And it's just very good. Now, I'm not going to say, I said on the notes that I'm really enjoying this, but I don't know if enjoying is the word. It's kind of, it's difficult to watch.
You're experiencing it.
Yeah. And like it's a good experience.
It's a positive experience, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It is, okay, like it's just very interesting, really, really interesting.
Thoughtful TV. And so she's not an actress. This isn't...
No. It's like it's just told in two different ways.
Okay.
But this is her... Yeah, it's a fictional, like this is her life. But honestly, there are so many points in that first episode where you're like, why are you not leaving? Like, just leave. He is an awful person. So it kind of does turn that whole like 70s, 80s comedy on its head. It's very, very good. It's very interesting.
Kevin Can F himself.
Kevin Can F himself, yeah. There's 8 episodes and they're all up in Prime.
We can say these words if we want to. Like it's
blurred out in the actual title.
Okay,
so
okay.
Hard to know what
okay,
you're
okay. F so, star K.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's good. It is very good.
Feck himself. He can feck himself. He can fork himself.
I mean, put whatever you want in there. Like
for fork.
It's a very.
Sake.
It's just. It's a play in the Kevin Can Wait, Kevin James thing.
I don't know that.
Which is very clever.
What Kevin Can Wait? Go on.
That's that awful comedy thing with Kevin James that just needs. Like I think it's gone now. Anyway, they killed off the wife at one stage and just got a younger model, and it's just. Dreadful, dreadful, dreadful comedy.
Like, can you
really,
do that?
Really bad. Well, they did it. He got rid of the. I can't remember what her name is, the actress, but
oh,
she
Kevin
was involved
James.
In the Scientology
oh, yeah.
stuff.
Mall Cops, yeah. Kevin James, you mean?
Oh, okay, okay.
Just like. He
was in the building one time.
Was he? Oh, where was I that day? I would Kevin James would be on my Mount Rushmore.
He was in the building and had like one of those really expensive cars and driver outside. And I was like, really? And they were like kind of pretend security at one point. No, you don't need security in Ireland.
Worth a lot of money. I just don't know how, I can't understand the popularity. He's really popular.
Takes one to know him when it comes to security. I mean, Paul Blart is top tier security guy.
Stop. No.
Molkop is underrated.
No, Owen, I'm not getting into
Molkop is
things.
Underrated.
No, I'm not going to let you rise.
I will absolutely. And wasn't there Molkop 2? Paul Blart
was
returns,
there?
The Return of the King. Not sure if there was or not. Can't really remember.
And
but
Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2. Yep, there
you go.
Oh my God.
2013.
Dreadful. 2013, yeah. I haven't seen that one, but I saw it at the original and it is excellent.
Kevin can wait 48 episodes. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. A lot of people watching it and it's terrible. He is terrible. Somebody needs to stop him. And Adam Sandler needs to stop encouraging him. So, no.
Anyway, Adam Sandler... Yeah. The only significant really bad decision that I made over the course of lockdown, which I regret,
I know what you're going to say,
was watching that fucking movie at the start.
Uncut Gems.
Like, it was the worst thing I could possibly have done.
Here, come on, Ger. No. That was one of the best movie of 2021 with the exception of Parasite.
No,
it was the second best movie of a year when it was still
and at the start of lockdown. You do not need to inject into your life the chaos, mania, distraction, and pain and suffering from that film.
Yeah, you do.
I'm still on edge. I have not relaxed.
I know. I've noticed
since that. It was worse than Cristiano Ronaldo.
In terms of what it does to your senses as a spectator of the thing.
No thanks.
Oh man, I disagree. Oh. Uncut Gems, phenomenal film.
Now that everything's opened up again and life is back to normal, perhaps good time to watch it now. No, summertime with the lights on outside and the windows open and the sun streaming in. That's the only way you can watch that.
It's so noisy. It's just really loud. Like, the whole thing was just really loud. I don't know how he can even hear his own thoughts. Like, it's just, I hated it.
Yeah,
I really hated
that's
it.
The whole point. You're in the head of Adam Sandler, you know.
Who wants to be there?
Okay.
No one.
Worth is on Netflix. What's this?
Worth. It's a film, actually. It's coming out tomorrow on Netflix. And there's been a lot of talk around this because Michael Keaton plays Ken Feinberg, who was in charge of the compensation fund for victims for 9/11. It's based on a true story. And it's... Do you know what? There's a lot of this that they play up to the camera for the insert emotional moment here. There's a lot of that. But Michael Keaton is absolutely brilliant. And like, I would be looking at Oscars for this. So he plays the lawyer that kind of at the start thinks, okay, well, I have to calculate. Basically, in order to pay this compensation, he has to calculate a formula that works for how much a life is worth economically to the state. And he has to pay them out in such a way that it won't collapse the economy. And over the course of the film, begins to realise that, like, you can't put value on somebody's life. And it's very... Because they kind of have three or four kind of main stories from the victims. One of them is Stanley Tucci's, and he's one of the people... He sets up a website called Fix the Fund because he knows the fund is not working for everyone. And Clayton needs to have a certain amount of people signed on for this to work. But the performances from Tucci and Keating in this is they're really, really, really good. I think they do play up the kind of schmaltzy kind of emotional side of it. And of course it's going to be. But in terms of performances, like, really, really good. I really like, I don't know if I like the film as much as the performances. I always feel like there's kind of that Philip Seymour Hoffman kind of thing where he's just better than the film. And that's the way I felt about this one as well. Like, the film is grand, but the performances are excellent.
Okay. I'm always a bit like, am I going to give 2 hours of my life to something that's only grand? I'm not sure.
So you're not. It'd be worth it for Keaton's. Like, honestly, Keaton is brilliant in it. Okay. Really, really good.
Okay, so this will live with you. The narrative might disappear. It sounds okay, grand. Something you might have missed.
I actually picked a podcast this week because after we talked about the American Crime Story that's going to do with Clinton and Michael Lewinsky, I went back to listen to Slow Burn. I don't know if you've listened to these podcasts. They're Slate Plus podcasts, and they do deep dives into American politics. And the second series is on Clinton and the Lewinsky trial. Now, I was in my teenage years when that happened, so I had an idea of what had happened with Clinton and Lewinsky, but that idea was completely wrong. Like, I didn't realise it was so long after it happened that he was impeached. I didn't realise that their affair had gone on for quite a while. For some reason, I thought it was much shorter than it was. I think when you... when you remember that in your past, you have kind of misconceptions about what happened, and then just listen to this has just been absolutely amazing. And they're like half hour, 40 minute episodes. The amount of information they pack into an episode is unbelievable, and the interviews and the access they have to people is incredible. But it really tells the story, and they've really figured out how to like tell the story properly from start to finish. From all sides.
Is Lewinsky in it?
Side. No, she wouldn't be. Linda Tripp is, who was the one who kind of set her up, but Lewinsky isn't in it. They kind of go back to her biography and to previous interviews. She doesn't do a lot of interviews. She doesn't talk about this that much, as you can imagine. And they don't really have access to the Clintons on the other side, but they talk to pretty much everyone who's involved on both sides, like lawyers, activists. And it's just, it's fascinating. It's really, really good podcast. And the first one is Watergate. It then moves on to Iraq. So I'm going to get through the rest of them, but I wanted to listen to the Clinton one before American Crime Story, because I really feel like I had the wrong idea.
So hang on.
About what had happened.
It's, so there's an American Crime Story coming out about Lewinsky.
Lewinsky, yeah.
And this is separate.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I just wanted to get like, have an idea of what actually happened before I went to watch the fictionalized version. And definitely there's been a change around Lewinsky in terms of how that woman was treated in the media. I think a lot of people now go, we didn't treat her very well. Certainly didn't treat her very well. So it's just interesting to hear like how she had called her mother in desperation, or the people around her. Like, she really believed this was a proper relationship, and she was very hard done by for what came out of this. But it's fascinating. Honestly, I really highly recommend it, because you won't feel the episodes going. Just fly. I'm on episode 7 already. Like, it's really, really good.
Okay. Other stuff that you're watching?
Vigil on BBC. I don't know if you guys have been watching it. It's so
nope.
good. It's
what is it?
World Productions. You'd be able to get a hold of the 2 episodes if you go looking, I'd say. But same guys who do Line of Duty. So it's very good. Like, it's, when I'm trying to explain this story, there's a lot going on in it. But basically, a crew member is found dead on a nuclear deterrent ship, a submarine, off the coast of Scotland. And they send a detective in, because it happens in an area which is considered British territory. She has to go and investigate the crime, but she goes into the submarine and, of course, has a fear of confined spaces, because the plot wouldn't work otherwise. But it's brilliant. Saran Jones is really, really good in it. She plays the detective. And I think there's a lot of people that are really addicted to it. Like, the first episode came out last week. Second episode was on Monday night, and there'll be 2 now this weekend. Sorry, from this weekend, it'll be on Sunday. Really, really good. Really good BBC World Production.
Okay. And Modern Love, that's, you've been talking about this a good bit.
Yeah, still watching it. Like, again, it's one of those things, like, you just turn your brain off, but it's nice. It's just nice TV. If you want to get away from like watching crime stuff and true crime stuff, it's just, and people that I honestly thought would not be interested in this at all have texted me saying, oh, I really love Modern Love. It's just so, it's just nice.
Okay.
If you want to watch nice TV, that's what you're looking for.
The French, the Parisian estate agents thing is actually quite good. There's a family of estate agents.
Is
that what it's called? What's it called?
Prison Agency, is that what it's called?
I'm not sure. It's
on
Netflix.
Netflix.
You can't miss it. 9 Perfect Strangers.
You told me to be the canary in the coal mine for this, and
the canary's dead.
I'm still trying, because it's another one of those situations where there's like really, really good performances.
Hey,
but
the bird's
the
not singing anymore.
Nowhere.
It's dead.
Yeah.
Well, let's get out of here.
Not feeling it. Like, a lot of people are saying it's really good, but I'm just not feeling it at all. It's really
Does
slow.
Does White Lotus get better? Kind of 1 3/4 episodes in, and it's grand so far?
Yeah, I'm on the 3rd episode, and I kind of understand what you mean, but I really feel like it's building to something.
Well,
and
better get there quick.
I just love the dialogue. I love the characters. I think they're brilliant. They're very well sketched out. Like, you know exactly who these people are after the first episode.
Yeah, in fairness, bits of it have been decent so far. So I'm not giving up on it. And how far along in your Sopranos rewatch are you?
I'm nearly finished season 2 now. I'm on to season 3. So, yeah. It's just, like, I was saying that to Owen last week. I didn't realise how spoiled I was, but how good The Sopranos was. And just the rewatch has changed so much about the characters for me, because I haven't watched it in nearly 20 years.
Hmm. What's happening? So don't tell me which part. Like, tell me the plot. What's going on?
We're very much focusing on the pussy thing. And it's just that episode where Christopher decides that he wants to be... it's the Jon Favreau episode.
I love that one.
Like, you're watching Jon Favreau go, how did he agree to this? Like, he's literally taking the piss out of himself here. But Christopher has really annoyed me more on the rewatch than he annoyed me in the first. he, like, I just can't deal with his character. I find him really annoying.
Oh, he gets worse. He is a despicable person.
Like, you just get to a point, so you're like, yeah, levels. I could kind of understand where Tony's coming from in the end, you know. That's a bit harsh maybe, but you know what I mean.
Well, no, I think everybody's on Tony's side, and that's the genius of the whole thing, is like this murderous psychopath who you're like, yeah you go, Tony, we're gonna win this thing. As the
thinking that, because the thing about Richie, like, when Richie gets out of prison, there should be an element of you going, I can kind of understand where this guy's coming from. Like, he's been kicked off his street, like, his brother is dead, like, there's loads of things that have happened to him, and you don't side with him at all. You can immediately just go, oh, Tony has to deal with this guy, get rid of him.
The mountain lamps. OTBAM is brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. Is there anything you're watching, Owen, you want to
Have you guys seen I Think You Should Leave on Netflix? We're just catching up on season 2 because it debuted around the time of the Euros and then came the Olympics. I genuinely think this is one of the funniest TV shows that has ever been made. Ever been made. If you like sketch comedy, then absolutely it's for you. But I always give a free pass to sketch comedy if every single sketch is mediocre. As in, I would give it a free pass for a 50% hit rate because it is so absurd generally. But this hit rate, I would have it around 85%. It is absolutely insanely good.
So this is the Americans where there's like a family story going on. There's brother and sister fighting at a petrol station.
Don't think so. This is Tim Robinson. There's like a couple of high profile cameos in it. Bob Odenkirk is in the most recent season in what is one of my favourite scenes of it. Like, I mean, this is the former Saturday Night Live writer who basically he's actually been on the record and said some of the sketches that are in this show were rejected for SNL, and I'm like, what are you doing? Who made the executive decision to cut any of these? I don't know which ones were rejected or not, but they're all absolutely good enough to be on SNL. It is it could possibly be the funniest thing ever, and if this goes on to season 3 and 4 and keeps up this rate, because it is perfect.
Not to take us down a complete tangent, but is SNL not shite?
So like that's the whole point. That's my point. It's like all of these are good enough to get on modern day SNL, no question. So even if it was the worst of his sketches that was rejected for that show, it just doesn't make sense. It is, I don't know, like, I mean, I don't know, it's like Mick McCarthy not playing Matt Doherty and Seamus Coleman, SNL not picking this guy's sketches. This guy is the most talented writer in the world, and he's got an incredible team of writers around him as well. Watch it if you haven't seen it. I accept I'm months behind it this season, but there was a lot of sport on this summer.
Every episode was like 15 Mick McCarthy, minutes. That is the analogy that I'm, the metaphor, the analogy that I'm here for.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, just think about how much happier your life could have been had you picked this thing up sooner, basically, is where the analogy ends. Watch it if you like happiness.
Sue, good stuff. Anything else?
That's it. Well, that's all the time I have in a week.
All right. Plenty. Thanks very much. Every Thursday around about this time, we give you some advice about what's coming up over the weekend to watch and to get your teeth stuck into from Sue Murphy. OTB AM.